The title of the message is School Days, School Days. My daddy used to sing a song to me and my twin brother on the first day of school as he was getting us up out of bed, and it went something like this. This was written in 1907, so I hope some of you remember it. School days, school days, good old golden rule days, reading and writing and arithmetic, taught to the tune of the hickory stick. How many remember that? Hey, that's pretty good. All right. Now, today that song is no longer politically correct, all right, because it mentions a hickory stick. But it does stir up memories in my mind of growing up as a kid, school days back in the 70s. You know, it'd be great to get back to the basics, wouldn't it? Reading, writing, doing a little math. I tell you, we've gotten off course so far. I sure appreciate my first grade teacher, Miss Caffey, for not giving up on me, helping me learn to read. I've told you before, I was the nervous type, could not read. I started yanking my hair out. I had bangs that went down here, and I would grab a pile and just and pull. I was so nervous because I could not read, and I was so embarrassed. But she was patient with me, and I learned to read by second grade. I was cruising right along. But you know, none of the teachers I had in kindergarten or elementary school or junior high school or college were as influential as my mom and dad and my grandma and grandpa. Some of y'all are here today to see the baptisms. You're related to some of these teenagers and kids in some way. And I just want to encourage you. You have a great influence upon them, to the good or to the bad. And we have to be so careful because our homes are the most important schools that our children will ever attend. Parents and grandparents, great-grandparents, you are the most important teachers your kids will ever have. Now, our children need not only book knowledge. They need to gain information. That's what school's all about. But they also need wisdom for living. And that comes from God's Word. And that must be taught to them by us. We have a responsibility. God has entrusted our children and grandchildren to us. So we are responsible for training them. How many have kids and grandkids? Raise your hand. Can you shake your head? We are responsible. We are responsible for training them. Some Christians take it very seriously, just like Eunice and Lois did with Timothy. Look at verse 5, 2 Timothy 1. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned or sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, you had a good upbringing, brother. The same faith that your grandma had and your mama had, I see it in you, brother, and I commend you for that. Now, it seems like from our study that Timothy's father was an unbelieving Greek. He didn't even trust in Christ, but Timothy's mom and grandmother saw to it that he was taught the Scriptures. Paul commends the faith of all three of them. And, you know, it was sincere. That's what that word, unfeigned, without hypocrisy. It was the real deal. They were true, genuine Christians that loved Jesus. And, you know, just because you have a Christian mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, everyone has to believe themselves. Y'all believe that? You have to believe in Jesus. Our kids cannot just ride the coattails of their mom and dad's faith or their granddaddy's faith or grandma's faith. No, every child must do his own believing. But Paul had watched Timothy's life and service. He was certain that Timothy knew Jesus. He knew that Timothy's faith was real. So these godly mothers pointed Timothy to Jesus. Having kids is a wonderful gift. Man, we love life around here, don't we? Every child is precious in God's sight. They are a gift from God entrusted to us. But with that gift comes responsibility. I wonder if they see in us a sincere faith in Jesus. Do all of you know Christ as your personal Savior? And, you know, we've got to live out the Christian life in front of them, in front of our kids and grandkids. Well, when it comes to parenting, modeling and teaching go hand in hand, just like peanut butter and jelly. How many are hungry? Ready? But think about that, modeling and teaching. And we are all modeling some type of lifestyle. We're all teaching principles, like I said before, whether good or bad. Eunice and Lois did a great job teaching Timothy. And I want to remind you on this back-to-school Sunday, you are teaching your children, whether you know it or not. They're watching. Where did Eunice go to her schooling as a mother? We'll turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't even have to turn my page. And look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul is telling Timothy, hey, remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. You know that they are true. You know that you can trust those who taught you. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy had been taught the Word of God from the time he was a child, from both his grandmother and his mother, whom of knowing of whom is in the plural, it speaks of both of them. Both of them had a great influence on his life. Parent, grandparent, great-grandparent, teach your children and grandchildren the Word of God. Surround them with the Word of God and prayer. Now, some are prone to say, well, I needed the Bible back when I was younger, but I can do without it now that I'm older. Boy, that's terrible thinking. You need the guidance of God's Word more every day, just like your children. We need to continue to be learners. Some of us go around, boy, we think we know it all. Boy, I tell you, God has a good way of telling us we have not arrived yet. And we can still learn something new every day. Let me just ask you, are you continuing to learn the Bible? Man, there's been several occasions where I've had to say, "Woo, I need to do some further study on that. Somebody will give me a tough question." And so none of us have arrived. Timothy had become convinced of the truth of God's Word. He was constantly learning. Now Paul is urging him just to continue on. Man, trust in God. Hold firm to the faith, hold firm to the Word, and then pass it on down to someone else. Can I just encourage everyone to do that? Make the Word of God a priority in your life. Pass down what you learn to those below you or younger than you. Now, look at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How many believe the Bible's holy, set apart, sanctified from any other book? It is consecrated for sacred use. The Bible is a book that leads us to salvation. That's its purpose. And it's not here to just teach us moral lessons. Now, can you learn moral lessons from God's Word? Sure. But also Andy Griffith reruns will teach you that. They'll teach morals. The Bible is so much more than just that. How many like Andy Griffith? All right, I just wanted to throw that out there. Mayberry or whatever, all right? But, you know, one teacher, after reading the story of Noah, she drew one moral principle that she wanted the kids to know that day. Here it was. Go love animals. What? There is so much more to that story than just a moral principle, as simple as that. No. Is that what we're supposed to learn from the story of the flood and Noah? No. That story teaches clearly about the salvation of God and the judgment of God. And man, we need to reinforce the truths of God's Word and make sure they're learning what's behind every story in God's Word. You know, the Bible is not a sanctified superhero book. Many want to turn Samson and David and Gideon into like Marvel comic book characters. That is not the purpose of the Bible. That, you know, the Bible is his story. You ever heard it put that way? The Bible is his story. It's all about Jesus. The Old Testament anticipates Jesus. The New Testament explains Jesus. He is promised in the beginning, all the way back to Genesis 3:15, it makes a reference to Jesus. He's there in the middle, in the Gospels. You say, I haven't read much of the Bible. Start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read about him when he was on the earth. And then he's there as we are worshiping him for all eternity in Revelation. Jesus is all over. Everything is pointing to him from Genesis to Revelation. He's the hero of the Bible. You say, I thought David and Gideon and Samson. No. Jesus is the hero of the Bible. The scriptures are about him. Now, we're not saved by believing the Bible. We're saved by trusting in Jesus, who is revealed in the Bible. Satan knows the Bible. How many believe Satan is saved? Wait a minute. He knows the Bible. Never placed his faith in Jesus. The Bible reveals our need for salvation. I wonder if you're here today and you need salvation. You know, the Bible's like a mirror that shows us how filthy we are in God's sight. It explains that we are condemned and how we need a Savior. It makes it clear that we cannot save ourselves. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's through his mercy. He died on the old rugged cross for you, and he wants to save you today. You know, it reveals the wonderful plan of salvation. Christ died for our sins, and if you'll trust in him, he will save you. Well, that's what the Word of God's all about. Eunice and Lois, boy, they had it right up. I mean, they were doing it right, following the Word of God. Timothy was taking it in, learning it. He was gaining that wisdom for living. Well, if Eunice went to the Scriptures as a good mom, that was the best parenting book ever written. I'm sure she read the treasured book of Proverbs. How many love Proverbs? I sure do. And she learned some valuable lessons that she passed on to Timothy. I got three for you today. Follow along. Number one, these are three principles from Proverbs that we need to teach our children or grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Number one, teach children reverence. Say this one with me, Proverbs 1:7. Ready? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is the foundation of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the foundation. Say the rest of it with me, ready? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Man, we must teach our children to fear. Now, I'm not talking about scared in a horror movie sense or something like that. No. This is a wonder-filled, stand in awe, worshipful reverence for God. Do you have that in your own life? Boy, your teens and your kids need to learn that a healthy fear of God, because it carries over in our actions, our attitudes in everyday life. You won't think this, hey, I'm just going to live any way I please. I'm going to do anything I want because God will forgive me. Nope. If you have a healthy fear of God, that will not be your thinking. You know what your thinking will be? I hate sin because God hates sin. And I want to run away from it as quick as I can because I want to please my Heavenly Father. I want to please God. That's a reverence for God. You know, your fear of God and reverence for God will affect the way you live. No reverence for God is going to cause a loss of reverence for a lot of other things. I thought of five. Number one, abortion and murder. You know what that is? That's a result of a loss of reverence for human life. Abortion and murder. We don't value life as we ought. We no longer have a reverence for God, so now we don't have a reverence for human life. Number two, I thought of addictions. You know what they are? They're a result of a loss of reverence for ourselves. No other power, pill, or drink should have power over us. The Holy Spirit indwells in us. He wants to be your power source. And when you give way to addiction, you've lost reverence for yourself. Number three, crime. Oh boy, some of us have been victims of crime. That is a result of a loss of reverence for someone else's property. Hey, you say, you know, you can't be a thief and say, I have a reverence for God. No, it affects every part of our life. Number four, how about adultery and fornication and rape, sexual abuse, pornography, homosexuality? All those are just a slap in the face to our holy God, and it goes against His design for love and marriage. So it affects everything. How about littering? You say, oh, come on. I'll roll down my window, I'll throw something out. Yeah, but everybody started doing that. You know, we just need to be cleaning up our mess. You know that what that is? It's a result of a lack of reverence for God's creation. I'm just trying to tell you how it affects everything. No reverence for human life, no reverence for ourselves, no reverence for someone else's property. We slap Jesus in the face because, His design for love and marriage, that's old-fashioned. No, let's do it by the book. And let's stay faithful to Him, a reverence for His creation. You know, a lot of times we teach irreverence without realizing it. I hate the phrase OMG. I hate it when somebody gets scared and they yell something like this, Jesus! You know what that is, y'all? That's blasphemy. That's not revering His name. We don't have a healthy fear of God a lot in these days. You know, when we use God's name or Jesus' name, it needs to be in a prayerful, respectful manner. We should teach our children that God's names are holy. God's names are sacred. They are set apart to be honored. Don't use them as a slang word. But you know what? Not only in our words, but also in our actions. Do our actions show our children and grandchildren that we have a healthy fear of God? That we have a reverence for Him? Do y'all realize God's always watching? And how many believe the biblical principle, what you sow, you're going to reap? Okay? Be sure your sin will find you out. God still punishes sin. And that ought to create in us a healthy fear of God. Judgment is coming if we refuse to confess our sin and we just go off and rebel and do our own thing. That is what we must teach our children. They need to learn that in an early age, to have a healthy fear of God and to respect Him and honor Him at all times. That's the foundation. Eunice gave her son the name Timothy. Do y'all know what Timothy means? You're going to love it. Ready? The fear of God. Isn't that amazing? She wanted her son to fear God. Hey, you want to build a healthy, happy child? Teach them to reverence the Lord. Number two, teach children obedience. Let's turn over to Proverbs. And let's look at chapter 1. And we already looked at verse 7. Let's look at verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know, this verse teaches us our roles as parents. Father is to instruct. Teach with authority in the form of warnings. Dad, you have the responsibility to teach in a way that corrects wrongs. Point out the consequences of wrong behavior. Father is to instruct. Mother is to teach. She's to prod her children along in the right direction. Guide them. Dads, you stress the results of ignorance. You correct the wrongs. Moms, you give gentle pushes and shoves toward the truth. Teach them what is right. And in this balance, dad's instruction, mom's teaching, children learn obedience. Obedience must be taught early in life. Hey, if your kid is running toward the road, where all the cars are coming by very busily during the day, and they don't learn at an early age that when you say stop means stop, they're going to be in trouble. And so it starts in an early age where they have to learn obedience, and they have to learn what honor and respect for mom and dad is all about. You know, the average family on TV today, boy, it's sure not like the Waltons. How many remember the Waltons? They were awesome. And it sure isn't like the biblical model. On TV, the children run the house, the mama is a pushover, and the dad is a doofus. Pretty much, if you're looking at a TV family, do not look at the world for parenting advice. Look to the Word of God. We got to be so careful. Well, obedience is crucial. I tell you, you know what the focus is? In the early to mid-childhood, it needs to be boundaries. Saying no to your children is okay. Let's try it one time. Ready? No! Say it one more time. Ready? There you go. That's okay. When they're young, they need to learn that life does not revolve around them. And they're just added blessings to the family. But man, we center so many things around our kids. That's not God's plan. They need to learn that there are limits to their behavior when they're young. All right? Then the focus in their late childhood and early teens needs to be consequences. They need to learn, hey, you make this choice, this is going to be the outcome. Don't bail them out of trouble every time. You say, preacher, no. You know what they need to learn? They need to learn how to pay for their own actions. If they're going to be successful as an adult, they got to learn that as a late child or early teen. But then, as they get older in the late teens, it needs to be principles. So it starts with boundaries, goes to consequences, then it leads to principles. What does that mean? They have learned the reasons behind every rule. And what that does is that prepares them to leave the nest. By the way, that's God's plan, is for your kids to leave the nest. I'm an empty nester and proud of it. Because I want my kids to be well balanced, learn how to live on their own. And they've learned obedience through the years, and now they're ready to serve Jesus, have kids, and train them to love Jesus. So it's just a cycle. But they, you know, a lot of times kids are getting punished. They don't even know why. They don't know the reason behind the rule that has been set for them. Man, we got to teach them that those things. So it's boundaries, consequences, principles. Boy, teaching obedience is so important. Number three, teach children purity. This will be our last one. Proverbs 2:20 says that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, follow their steps, and keep or stay on the paths of the righteous. Now, in that same passage in verse 12, it says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. Verse 16 in Proverbs 2 says, to deliver thee from the strange woman. What does that mean? We must guard our children from sexual impurity. The TV in your home must have parental controls. The internet must have a filtering system. Cell phones, iPads, laptops, tablets must have some type of blocking program. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Why? Because we're trying our best to keep them from seeing the wrong content. Evil men want to destroy your kids. Evil women want to seduce them, get them hooked on pornography. And I'm telling you, it is right before their eyes, so much more easily accessible than it was for us years ago. Would you shake your head? It's there. And if you're not doing something to help them as they're fighting this battle for purity, shame on you. Step up. Be the parent. Do something to help them. You ought to know what kind of music your kids are listening to. You ought to know the movies they're watching, the video games they're playing. If they have TVs in their room with no limits to what they watch, if they have a laptop or a tablet or a cell phone with access to anything on the internet, that's dangerous. That's like having a rattlesnake in your room and not doing anything about it in your kids' room. It's dangerous for them. We've got to do something to help them. We also have to teach them that they are created in God's image as male or female. God don't make no mistakes. They are His masterpiece, created in His image. You are to love them, accept them, affirm them every single day so that they accept the way God made them. They need to see mommy and daddy loving each other. How about that one for a change? Stop fighting and start making up and hugging and kissing in front of them. They need to see a healthy model of purity and what it's all about. We need to be an example to them. We need to teach them the proper view of sex. Don't let the school do it. Don't let their friends do it. You step up. Teach them purity. Oh, you say, preacher, that's my responsibility. I realize that. Well, here's where you start. Are you ready? Listen very closely if you hadn't listened to anything. You got to be pure yourself. Oh, I want my kids to be pure. Hey, I want my kids to walk down the wedding aisle a virgin one day. I would love that. Would you love that? See my grandkids save themselves for their future spouse? That would be amazing. But you know what you got to do? You got to set the example right now yourself. Many shows and movies are full of compelling characters. I'm telling you, they got an excellent plot. The writing is flawless. And the acting is great. But a lot of these shows are full of sex. Let's just put it on the counter. Listen, does anyone really think that when Jesus warned against looking at a woman lustfully, or when Paul told us to avoid every hint of sexual immorality, and Paul told us not even to speak of it, the things that the world does in secret, how do we take those passages from God's word and then come up with this? Go ahead and watch naked men and women have sex or pretend to have sex on TV. It'll be all right. Oh, I've heard all the excuses. Some Christians say it's okay because it's just make-believe. Oh, it's okay. It's just art. It doesn't bother my conscience, preacher. Something's wrong with your conscience. I can view sinful sex without participating in it myself. You know what? Those are all foolish arguments. And that doesn't change what the Bible says about the importance of purity. The fact is, our consciences should be smitten for what we allow into our homes. What we allow into this eye, these ears. Now, I don't expect those who are strangers to the light to be bothered by the darkness. People that don't know Christ as their Savior, they're going to do all those kinds of things. They're not going to teach their children a lot of those great principles of purity and obedience and reverence because they don't know Jesus. But for us that claim to be Christians, who care about marriage and morality and decency and so many other areas, it is baffling what we allow in. Can I ask you to step up and say, I want to be pure because I want my kids to be pure. I have a goal for their life, and it's a God-given goal that they be clean for God's glory. Now, it's affecting our kids what we allow in. So as far as, that's just talking about that aspect of purity, but what about allowing things that your kids are allowed to do? You know, parents got to agree together. We got to set boundaries. Who are they with? Where they're at? What they're doing? We just got to be a parent. You know, it's going to take some work. But I just wanted to remind you today, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, you have a responsibility. Don't lose your vision for the clean and decent. Some of you are here today and you say, all I can do is pray. It's too far gone. Let me tell you, no, by God's grace, you can see victories in your kid's life. He wants you to step up and be the parent, lead your children to be reverent, obedient, and pure. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we need some teaching today. We need some schooling in what the Word of God says and the principles in it so that we can have it in our own lives, and then we can lead our children and our grandchildren properly. So, Lord, I pray that we would fall in love with the Bible today. I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, they'd realize what the Bible's all about. It's all about you. Everything points to you. And you came and died for them on the old rugged cross. And all they have to do is believe. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.